Welcome back. Joe Torti Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. All right. The best sports movies of all time. Tyler and I are going to be the arbiters of these tweets that are coming in. And we're going to go in chronological order. In the order received, Adam Shin was the first response on Twitter, Tyler, with The Waterboy. No.
Objectively, no.
No.
Funny movie, not the best.
Yes, would still rewatch. Quotable, funny, not the best movie. Benjamin, BK Mullen, tweets in, anybody who says Rudy is just pandering, remember the Titans for life. Remember the Titans, really well-made movie.
Correct. Rudy also stinks.
It's not
a good movie.
Bad movie.
Remember the Titans is top three.
Yeah.
For
least,
sure.
At least. Yeah, it's sports movies. Hoosiers. This comes from AirIC23. Hoosiers, Coach Carter, remember the Titans. Remember the Titans, we've already addressed. Really, really like Coach Carter. Hoosiers I like too, but it's not in my elite class.
Hoosiers, I think, is in the elite class for the generation before us.
Okay.
It doesn't resonate nearly as much for people around your and I age as it does for our parents' generation.
Okay. Slapshot.
Funny.
I like
but
it.
I don't know about objectively the best.
Agreed. Brian's Song. This one's got a chance. Brian's Song's in there. I really, really like Brian's Song as a top five, perhaps, in terms of movie quality.
When you can make grown men cry,
yeah,
you've done something right.
Agreed. So good job by Maria Rosinski there. And Paul Zarilli was the one who suggested Slapshot. And Bill Krause tweets in, Fish That Saved Pittsburgh makes the list because of Dr. J.
I've never seen it.
I also have not seen The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh. Got to check that out. But people say that it's good, so I will go with that. Something that I'm not excited to go with, by the way, another thing has happened. Happened a little while ago, coming from Adam Schefter. Former Bucks wide receiver Breshad Perriman is signing with the Jets on a one-year deal worth up to $8 million, including $6 million guaranteed, according to Drew Rosenhaus.
Huh?
It's a lot of money for Breshad Perriman. And that's what we were talking about earlier. Earlier last week, we were talking about how building your team in free agency isn't the best move because you're paying top-tier dollar for not top-tier talent. However, it's another wide receiver off the board. In his last five games in 2019, though, Perriman had 87 yards receiving, 70 yards receiving, 113, 102, 134. It looked like he really put it together. Against some terrible teams, at Jacksonville, at home against Indy, at Detroit, at home against Houston, at home against Atlanta. Tyler Zulli says is a playoff team in 2020. 2019 versions of those teams, pretty bad. But that's another wide receiver off the board. Another speed wide receiver off the board.
They started to put things together at the end of the season. If you took week 1 through 8 Atlanta and said, are they going to be a playoff team next year? I'd tell you you're crazy.
Okay.
Their only win, I think, in the first 8 weeks was against the Eagles.
Correct.
Their last 8 weeks were productive. I think they were 6-2 in their last 8 weeks because I believe they finished 7-9.
Okay.
If that trend continues,
momentum,
correct.
Okay.
With the fact that they're still a fairly young offensive core, I know losing Austin Hooper hurts, but I think that they're okay.
So the Falcons last year were 7-9, tied with the Bucks, and two games up on the Panthers in the NFC South.
So there and you know my proclamation on the Panthers?
No.
Never
mind.
I still believe they're going to be the worst team in football next year.
Number one. They're number one. So the Falcons are going to win the division, or are they going to be a wild card team?
No, I think they'll be a wild card team. Okay. I think the Saints still win the division.
All right. 610-632-0975. Not sure I see it, but I haven't really gone down. So I was waiting on this. Pat Thompson tweets in, Rocky, no question. Is Rocky one of the best made sports movies of all time? I don't really think so.
I think it might be, because if you want to talk about the developing storyline outside of the ring, much like you talked about the Warrior, I think that it could be considered up there because it's you see the development of Adrian coming out of her shell. You see Rocky, you learn that Rocky's a decent guy and a hardworking guy. Paulie is a bad person, but it's a riveting character to say the least. Of course.
So here's my issue on Rocky, because I agree with you on all of those things. The boxing in Rocky turns me off to the movie. Like, I don't like the fight choreography. I don't like the fight execution. And I think that it improves as the series goes on. But I really, the boxing scenes in the original Rocky, I do not care for.
Well, that would make sense that they improved as the scene goes on, as the movie goes on. The budgets got bigger. They made Rocky, the first Rocky, for like $14.
Well, but what does that have to do with the fighting?
I don't know who their boxing choreography guy was or woman was. They probably hired a legitimate boxer, well-known boxing choreographer or something along those lines as it got to 3 and 4.
Okay.
I don't know if Sylvester Stallone didn't make up the choreography himself for Rocky 1.
That's a good point. He might have. All the money went to Carl Weathers, right? That's what the entire budget was? Getting that guy in the movie?
Yeah, you needed one name.
He had to get somebody in there. Goon Aaron King tweets in, really good movie, but I don't think it was one of the best objective made movies. Basketball Diaries, I enjoy. That one's pretty good.
I have not seen that all the way through.
Okay, would recommend. He Got Game, I don't think that's one of the best ones. Although, once again, that fits into the category of very enjoyable. And then Raging Bull from Sportsless Dog. All right. I like Raging Bull, too. That's another character development movie, too. I enjoy that. All right, we're getting some good votes here. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Reach out on Twitter at Joe Torti at 97.5, The Fanatic.
By the way, did a little research.
Yeah.
Looks like the original choreographer for Rocky 1 was a guy named Jimmy Gambina.
Okay.
Who is a well-known boxing choreographer in movies. Do a little more research on him.
But we need to know if he became well-known as he continued to work with the Rocky franchise or if he was well-known at the time. It'll be difficult for us to gather that. But Tyler's just the leader of our crack research staff. I'm sure Tyler will be able to handle that. Zach Berman actually tweets a couple minutes ago regarding exactly what we were talking about earlier in the 6 and 7 o'clock hours with respect to Howie Roseman and wide receivers. Zach Berman says, Howie Roseman has been willing to let a hole go unfilled until the draft or even after. He did it in 2017 at running back and corner. They signed LeGarrette Blount in May and traded for Ronald Darby in August. Eagles can always make a trade, but better to do a player-for-player deal than sacrifice more picks. With that said, chances are much harder to find a reliable veteran as time passes. So the Eagles are gambling. There were free agents available at reasonable prices. Draft is critical for this offense. I just like having options. That's it. Karate Mark tweets in. Fun fact, Dolph accidentally knocked out Sly in Rocky IV rehearsal. I didn't know that. That's pretty good.
All right, so we got some info on this guy.
Man, that was laser fast.
Well, they did an interview. It's question, answer, bullet point, question, answer.
All right.
So some of the other movies he was worked on were Saturday Night Fever, Raging Bull, and The Champ.
Okay.
So they asked him, how was he originally involved in the Rocky project? He was actually hired to train Sylvester Stallone personally.
Okay.
To teach him, I guess, how to box. They trained for 5 months prior to the film. And then the last question that they asked, and I got to go back and find this. Oh, okay. This one I thought was pretty interesting. They asked him, due to the this low budget nature of the movie, was your role in the production at all affected by the lack of money? And he says, it's in the taste of the individual. There are no small rates, which I think is a thin cover up to say, yeah, probably, but I'm not going to say anything.
Interesting. I thought the fight scenes in Raging Bull were much better, and that movie comes out 4 years after Rocky. So, you know, maybe lessons learned. Or maybe it's just beyond the choreographer. Maybe it's shooting choices. Maybe it's editing choices, video, and that sort of thing. There are a lot of filters that things have to go through before the final cut is unleashed. So maybe it's not just the fight choreographer's issue, but I don't know, man. I would say the boxing's probably the worst part of the Rocky movies for me. I like the other parts so much more. And that's what kind of holds it back.
So it also looks like he only did 1 and 5. So he came back to do 5.
Ooh.
To train. Stallone asked him to train his son.
Ew. Okay. 5 is bad.
5's not a good movie.
No.
And if 5's a bad movie and you don't like 1, you might have an issue with this guy.
Might have the common denominator that we were looking for, because Rocky 2 is great. Rocky 3 is really good. Rocky 4 is fantastic. Rocky Balboa is, I would argue, real. I was way overwhelmed by Rocky Balboa relative to what I expected it was going to be. And then Creed, just fantastic.
We got to go down this road again.
Yeah, sorry, man.
We got to go down this road again.
Got to do it. We've done it before. We're going to do it again.
Your enjoyment of Rocky IV, just, and not from an enjoyment standpoint, because it's an enjoyable movie. Like, your objective view of Rocky IV, I just don't get
it. You don't like it?
Not that I don't like it. It's your opinion. I just don't get it.
You don't like lots of people's opinions, I'm sure. It's okay. You know, but
I just, in the grand scheme of things, it's probably, if you include Balboa and Creed, the two Creeds,
yes,
it's probably at best the 5th best movie.
All right, so what do you like, Rocky 2?
1 and 2.
Okay.
Definitely over 4.
There's no way 1's over 4. Okay.
And Creed, for sure.
I'll give you that too.
Creed 2 is close, but Creed is a better movie than Creed 2.
Yes.
I don't know if necessarily 3's not as good as 4.
Really? Okay.
I would probably take it and go, if we're just saying Rocky, 1, 2, 4, 3. But 4 and 3 are close.
Okay.
And I truly believe that 1 and 2 are definitely better. And Creed 1 is definitely better.
All right. So I think that I would go 2, Creed, 4, 1. And then
3. Okay.
I think so. But your concerns are noted. I do really like Creed, though. I thought Creed was fantastic.
Creed, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this in this city. Creed might be the best of all of them.
You think so?
It might be.
Now, I do wonder if that is a, not in terms of recency bias, in terms of like when we saw stuff, but whether the things that we're getting used to seeing in movies, there were just more of them in Creed on top of the storytelling. And, you know, you can just tell that Rocky is an old movie. You can tell the Rocky 2 is an older movie. Like, it has been around for a long time. You know, Creed just seems like there's more modern polish on it. Daniel Spud Miller. Sorry, don't know. Rocky, Raging Bull, League of Their Own, good movie. That's a really well-made movie, I think.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because that's a movie that I find I can objectively and subjectively split.
Really?
Because objectively, okay. I know that it is a well-put-together movie.
Yes.
I just don't like it.
Fine.
I don't enjoy it. But it is a well-put... It's hard to do that, but I think that that's a split that I can make.
Well, to be fair, that's the other half of the tweet. We're saying, like, not necessarily your favorite, but objectively the best, right? So, like, that's the other side of it. It's like, you can not like it, but still understand that it's, like, you know, a well-made movie. I'll die on this hill. Napoleon Dynamite's a bad movie. Like, I don't care if you liked it. Like, I don't care if you did. Whatever. People are like, oh, it was so genius. It was so
horrible.
It's
a horrible movie.
It's a terrible movie.
It's just... mind-numbing funny.
Right. If it's dumb funny, then just say it's dumb funny.
There are movies that you just unplug for an hour and 45 minutes, and that's one of them.
Mine? Not even close. Zombieland. And Zombieland is twice as clever as Napoleon Dynamite right. could ever hope to be.
Well, I mean, to be fair, if we're staying within the sports theme, Semi-Pro's not a good movie.
No.
But it's hysterical.
Yes. Agreed. Not a good movie. Longest Yard remake. Totally watchable.
No, it's not a good movie. First one's really good, too.
I agree. Longest Yard remake, not a good movie. I can watch it, though. I can watch it. There are lots of movies in sports like that. That's what I think being a sports fan will tolerate a lot. It takes Joey Tribbiani and a chimpanzee for us to be like, no, I'm done. I'm done with this sports movie. Talladega Nights. What do you think about that? I guess I'm gauging whether Tyler's a Will Ferrell fan or not based on his responses to these movies.
I am a huge Will Ferrell fan.
Okay.
And I can also say that a lot of Will Ferrell's movies aren't like these objectively award-winning movies.
Okay, so Talladega Nights?
Hysterical. Not a great movie.
Okay. All right.
I mean, Anchorman's the same way. Is Anchorman really a great movie? Or is it just hysterically funny? Because if we're talking objective, that's the way that it goes. I love Anchorman. I think it's... I die laughing 15 times over. I could watch it every day.
Uh-huh.
But is it an objectively good movie?
You know what I go back and forth with this about? Is The Hangover. Not The Hangover movie, but The Hangover series. I think about this all the time. The worst thing that ever happened to The Hangover 2 is The Hangover 1. Because there's so much good in The Hangover 2 that if you saw that first, you'd be dying laughing. But you've already seen The Hangover 1, and there are a lot of plot similarities. Same thing with The Hangover 3. Really, really funny. But you've already seen the first two. Takes some off of it a little bit. So I think that, you know, look at that as well. Context does matter. Then that's what we were talking about with Creed relative to the Rocky movies, right? Creed's a really good movie. Do people think that it's better than the Rocky movies or any of the Rocky movies because of, you know, the modern shine that's kind of been put on it? Or is it like, you know, storytelling wise and movie making wise, people that call it film and cinema would say that it's better. I don't know. Patrick Tepe is a transfer from Columbia is going to Duke. They're pilfering all the Ivy League guys.
Yeah, so not only do they get the Ivy League, Duke gets the Columbia transfer, uh-huh. Ohio State gets a Harvard guy.
What? Dude's tough.
Where is this talent coming? Well, we know where the talent's coming from. Never mind. We know where the Harvard talent's coming from, at least.
I was wondering how long it was gonna wait. Did not disappoint. Tyler Zuli with the shade as soon as the opportunity arose. Just glorious. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Drew in Westchester next on The Fanatic. What's going on, Drew?
Yo, what's going on, Joe, Tyler? How you guys doing tonight, man?
Happy quarantine. Hope that you and yours are well.
I'm actually quarantined down in Pompano Beach, Florida right now.
Oh, are you really? There are worse places that you could be quarantined.
That's what I figured. I flew down. My daddy's like 70, so I flew down last Wednesday, not really, very kind of before things really, you know, hit the fan. So,
right.
They already canceled my flight once coming back, so hopefully I got rescheduled coming back on Thursday, so hopefully they won't do it to me again. So
oh, man,
hopefully
travel safely.
Yeah, well, the flight down was like 30 people on the flight. It was great. Like, everyone was like three rows apart from everyone, and I didn't hear a single cough or a sneeze, so it was a nice flight down. I'm hoping for the same going back. You know,
beautiful.
For very, very minimal people on the flight. So you guys talking Will Ferrell movies, so it got me thinking of this is a movie I was actually watching the other day, and it's kind of a sports-related movie, and but it's really kind of a... I don't know if you've ever heard of the movie The Ringer.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
With Johnny Knoxville?
Yes.
Oh, my
Olympics
God.
That movie.
Yes. I mean, the premise of it, just a horrible premise, you know, is the fact that, you know, people that do have, you know, special needs, I think they did a fantastic job acting in the movie. So that's one of those movies that it's really kind of dumb or whatnot to watch, but I think it comes off good and it's rewatchable.
Have to admit, Drew, I haven't seen that one. Hey, safe travels, man. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Yeah, I saw it and the premise did turn me off to the point where I was like, yeah, I can't do it. I don't think I'll do it. I don't judge anybody who has seen those movies, by the way, but not for me, I don't think. 610-632-0975. So, Tyler, you're telling me that something's strange about the fact that Ohio State would want somebody who ended up going to Harvard?
Oh, you mean like how an Ivy League school pulled a top 30 recruiting class out of nowhere? Tommy Amaker's just all of a sudden the greatest recruiter in the world? I wonder how that happened.
Man, I should have known.
Scandalous.
I should have known. To be fair, though, Ivy League does, like, first of all, the quality of athlete entering the Ivy League is on the rise all the time.
Oh, I don't disagree.
I'm just augmenting this conversation, not putting a point against, but I could totally see why a team like Duke or Ohio State, or any team that would be in contention for like these one and done type kids, would say, hey, we've got to get like some veteran experience from somewhere. Like, all of our recruiting classes are going to be guys who are one and done. Like, we have to find guys who have been around the block somewhere if we're going to win these games. So I get that too, of course, especially if you acquit yourself properly in the Ivy League. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Dacky and Camden next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dacky?
I can totally see why.
Dacky, you with us?
Yes, I'm with you.
How are you, man?
All right, how you doing?
Doing great.
Thanks for having me, Joe. I'm an Eagle fan that's really upset about DeAndre Hopkins not coming to show.
Yes.
He's learning hard ways, $39 million. We take and we get Darius Slay. Darius Slay, excellent, excellent pickup. They'll have no problem with that at all. DeAndre Hopkins not coming to Philly is bothering me. If we was able to give Hargrave that money and trade for Darius Slay and give Slay that money, why couldn't we put that together and give that to the best wide receiver in the league? Somehow move up and draft Henry Ruggs and also have Darius Slay with that money. What was the capability of having him on the phone and not bringing DeAndre Hopkins?
Right.
Having him on the phone, Joe?
Yeah, Dickey, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Sorry, you had the radio on in the background there pretty loudly. But you're right. Like, that's my issue with the DeAndre Hopkins non-trade, is that it doesn't stop you from doing anything. Like, it does not stop you at all from, say, drafting Henry Ruggs, trading for Darius Slay. Like, it doesn't stop you. I get the money, and I get the salary cap and everything like that, but, like, it's just a dangerous game to play. The game that you're playing is, can you find somebody who will give you for the next 3 or 4 years what DeAndre Hopkins gives you? And yes, you're getting it at a fraction of the cost, but if you don't get it and it's not a known commodity, is it a good idea not to do it? I'm not saying that Henry Ruggs or CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy or any of these guys look like busts. They don't. But if you don't get what you got from DeAndre Hopkins, like, how much production is worth saving the money on the contract and the draft pick? And whatever draft picks it would take to trade or trade up or whatever. 610-632-0975. Joe Torti Show continues right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
'97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli producing, hanging out with me until midnight. I've enjoyed the interactions and the back and forth that we've had with people on Twitter as well and on the phone, so keep that coming as we're all trying to make it through the coronavirus lockdown quarantine situation. I have no idea how long this is going to last. No clue. My dad bought a bunch of freeze-dried food. I got one of those like emergency care packages. I'm wondering if that's going to be the case. You know, like, you used to look at people like that and be like, what kind of zombie apocalypse are you saving up for? I don't know, Joe, the kind where no one's allowed to go outside, no one's allowed to grocery shop. No one, well, you are allowed to grocery shop, but the grocery stores don't have any toilet paper. Things are going crazy. Here we are. Thank goodness for the NFL as it soldiers on and continues to sustain us. As unashamed and unabashed, Rashad Perryman signs a deal with the New York Jets. I don't think that that stops them from taking a wide receiver if they want a wide receiver, by the way. Rashad Perryman's not stopping you from making any kind of decisions like that. Not on a one.
This is just hurting at this point.
What do you mean?
All these other NFL teams are just taking it and just twisting the knife a little further into my back.
It hurts.
Just need one. I really just need one.
I mean, I get that it's a lot of money. I'd be in on Rashad Perryman. My question is always, who is the alternative?
Oh, I would have definitely paid Robbie Anderson for sure.
$10 million.
Yeah. Yep. I'd have paid him.
Me too. I get that there are some other issues with Robbie Anderson that some people might not want to deal with. Okay. It's all about your tolerance and it's all about the things that you can stand. Fine. Okay. Having said that, though, are you okay with like the only acquisition being, say, a second round wide receiver? What if things don't work out in the first? People are literally just slotting Henry Ruggs into the Eagles' depth chart already. Like, that's a sure thing. I'm not convinced that he gets drafted behind Judy, for the record. I think people like speed. They look at the Chiefs. The Chiefs just won the Super Bowl. People are like, oh, they have a ton of fast wide receivers? That must be the way to go. Let's get a ton of fast wide receivers.
Oh, yeah, I think Henry Ruggs is the first receiver off the board.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I don't think he's the best receiver, but I believe that you're... diagnosis right there is exactly spot on.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the people might take CeeDee Lamb just because he too is a fast wide receiver, but Henry Ruggs is the fastest. So I think that that makes a difference. I think that that will speak to people in the draft rooms and on the draft boards. Let's go to Lance in Arizona next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Lance?
Hey, Joe, I kind of agree with you. The fact of the matter is the Eagles should have gotten a wide receiver. I think they look at it as, we're going to go to the draft and get a wide receiver, and that's how we're going to do it. It's a good draft. We can get one. Here's the problem. I called this week, and I said, there's about 12 to 15 teams that have the same idea that you do, and they know you desperately need a wide receiver.
Right.
So they're going to either jump you, or if you want to move up, you're going to have to drastically overpay, and doing that Slay trade takes away from the assets that you had if you wanted to go into the draft and get the wide receiver. That is why when I called and tried to explain to you and Devon, I would have just went after DeAndre Hopkins, because if I gave up my first-round pick, it doesn't make really that much of a difference, because no one's going into that draft saying, man, I really need to go out and get the corners in this really good corners class, because everyone was already paying the corner class. So now you're behind the eight ball where your defense might be decent. They're still not great with Slay. People want to say that they're better than what they are. They're not. You still have a hole at safety. You have another hole at safety because Ronnie McLeod didn't play well. And you have a hole at corner that you might start with Avante Maddox on the outside. So you still have that same problem that you had with the defense. If you would have gotten DeAndre Hopkins with your first-round pick, even if you gave up the first-round pick and paid him, your offense is probably scoring 25, 30 points a game, and you're more in games than you're going to have to drag it out like you have been doing.
Well, so Lance, let me ask you this. Do you think that they could have done the same thing? Can they average 25 points a game featuring Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz together more, with Greg Ward having taken the step forward that he took towards the middle and end of last year? Like, do you think that those strides could have already been taken, and that's why Howard's willing to take his chances?
This is the biggest difference right now. The NFC East is better today than it was yesterday. The Giants suck, but the Giants aren't nearly as bad on defense going into this year as they were this past year. And the same with the Redskins. Redskins are going to get young in that at number two spot, and they built somewhat decent defense for the additions that they added. So those fool's gold games at the end of the year where you played the Redskins and the Giants twice, they were just awful on defense. They're not going to be nearly as awful anymore. So you're going to have to score points. And to me, I look at it this way. Robbie Anderson got a two-year, $20 million contract. You're telling me you wouldn't pay Robbie Anderson 2 years, $20 million when Terrell Williams, who has less stats than him and play with better quarterbacks, got 4 years, $44 million last year. You're telling me you wouldn't have made that move to secure your wide receiver, at least have one wide receiver that is reliable, because Deshaun always gets hurt. J-Jaw has the same problem a rookie's going to have, because he has no training camp and no mini camp and little training camp this year. You're going into a draft where everyone has the same philosophy as you do, better assets than you do, and you don't have the security because Deshaun gets hurt and then J-Jaw has his problems. That's a problem.
Lance, I think that you're absolutely right. And I would say that's what we were talking about early on. Like that, Lance, what Lance laid out, why it's important to keep your draft plans a secret. That's exactly why. Because people know that you need to jump the Eagles. Like you said, that's scenario one. Or if you're the Eagles and you want to trade up, your price is higher than everybody else's price. Like it's not hard. So that's why I'm surprised that there's been pushback on this idea that, you know, because the Eagles have painted themselves back into a corner, and it's clear that they really would like to add wide receiving help, but they haven't exercised any avenues, no trade, no free agent. It's clear that it's going to be the draft. You set yourself up in a position to fail. Like, I don't know why that's that hard to grasp. So Gregory Parker tweets in. So we should overpay for a subpar receiver to keep our draft plans a secret? Here's what I would say. Unless the plan is for the Eagles to, at some point in this draft, which it might be, at some point in this draft, to draft three wide receivers, your wide receiving core, if you're the Eagles, needs a dramatic overhaul. So whether it's Robbie Anderson, whether it's Breshad Perriman, whether I would argue DeMarcus Robinson, you need an infusion of talent in that spot. And any of those guys, and Robinson I think is still a free agent, any of those guys would be an improvement over what you have on the team right now. And it doesn't stop you from getting one of those better wide receivers in the draft. The problem is that if you do that, or at least let's say this, now that they haven't done that yet, you're not hiding your plans at all. So it's clear that that's the only solution that you have. You could convince at least some teams, if you were going to sign Robbie Anderson for 2 years, $20 million, all right, they spent their money, it's on wide receiver, the Eagles are going to be looking somewhere else. Even though you know that your wide receiving core right now of Robbie Anderson and DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey is fraudulent in that they do not have any interest in Alshon Jeffrey being on the football team next year, right? Instead, you drop down to Arthega Whiteside, you drop down to Greg Ward, whoever else you're going to throw out there. You don't overpay so that you can keep your draft plans a secret. You overpay in free agency because that's what happens in free agency. If you want a player, you have to pay more than they're worth. So you improve your wide receiving core, but yes, also you keep your draft plans a secret. I co-sign on that theory. I totally subscribe to that. Now, who knows what happens with the Eagles in the first round? People say it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. What if two wide receivers are gone in the top 10? Not saying that they are, but what if they do? What if two are gone by the top 11? What if three are gone by the top 13? And instead of sitting there thinking, oh, well, you know, if Justin Jefferson, we don't trade up and Justin Jefferson falls to us at 21, that'll end up being the case. What if you're sweating out, is Justin Jefferson going to make it back to you 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, knowing that everybody knows the Eagles are going to draft a wide receiver? That's kind of my nightmare scenario here. I'm not sure if I agree with Tyler yet that Henry Ruggs is going to be the first wide receiver selected. I don't know how teams feel about CeeDee Lamb. I bet they probably like him. I would be stunned if Judy gets drafted before Ruggs does. I'd be very, very surprised at this point.
Doesn't make any sense, but no. I feel that way as well.
Yeah.
Judy's a better receiver.
I think so, too. More complete.
Everything that I have watched about Judy, read about Judy, heard from respected SEC people about Judy, say that he is the crispest route runner since Julio Jones. That goes to tell you all you need to know.
Yep.
On top of the fact that he can play, that makes him the most complete receiver in the draft.
610-632-0975 is your phone number. Top aboard the conversation. B, we're going to get to you to lead things off. I want to give you your full time. We're up against a break here. So we'll start with B, and then we'll get to you. It is the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Hanging out until 10 o'clock. Tyler Zulli producing. Man. I don't know if I can do this. Like the watch the old sports on TV. I don't know if I can do it.
I would say no.
See, I'm more intrigued by if people are still showing anything that is new and current. I love cornhole or bag-o or whatever you call the game, like the beanbag toss at the ramp. That's been on ESPN, been locked into that.
Oh, you're 1,000,000% locked in on marble racing, aren't you?
Oh, marble racing. Let's go. Anything that's on the Ocho, which, by the way, spurred me to go ahead and watch Dodgeball as well. Watch that, too. Not one of the best sports movies ever made.
No. No, not at all.
Especially since it turns out that Lance Armstrong was a filthy, filthy cheater the entire time. Kind of the turning point of the movie kind of falls a little flat now. Time's not kind to Dodgeball.
You know what I find funny about that movie? It's now that I've understood the sports gambling world a little bit more.
Yes.
The guy literally goes and places a bet in a game that he's going to play in.
Yeah, Dodgeball should ban him for life.
I can't imagine he didn't get a ban for that.
Yeah. Yeah, lifetime ban, I would think. It's a shame.
No, the only thing that I guess that would have saved him was that technically at the time, he had resigned from the team.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
that's the only thing I could think that would save him.
The American Dodgeball Association of America will definitely have something to say about that.
The five D's.
Yeah. You got them? You got the five D's?
I think it's dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
Nailed it. Absolutely crushed it. Tyler's ready. Let's go to Mike in Queens next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Mike. Mike, you with us? All right. Sounds like we might be talking to Mike's pocket. But we'll see. All right. You know how, like, there are those faith in humanity restored situations where you see something happen, you're like, all right, it's not so bad out there after all. Brian Thompson, who is a reporter for NBC New York. Well, I guess he covers New Jersey news for a New York news channel. Has this tweet. Suspect charged with coughing on Manalapan Wegmans employee and saying that he had coronavirus is ID'd. Had an alleged dispute with a worker who asked for social distancing. Charges, terroristic threat. I think when it's, this is called harassment and obstruction. You're going into a Wegmans, coughing on somebody and saying that you have the coronavirus. Like, this is literally like, I'm disappointed that people like this exist.
Yeah, I'm really tired of seeing the video where somebody will go down the aisle and lick. Have you seen those?
Oh my God.
They're like
ice cream. And it's,
yeah, it was disgusting in normal times. These aren't even normal times anymore.
No. No, that's garbage. Unbelievable. You know, that's the anti-faith in humanity restored kind of situation.
Yeah, I feel like after you see a video like that, you've got to intentionally Google, like, you know, guy saves puppy from the middle of the road.
Right, exactly.
You know, just to get some good in your life.
Yeah, you got to bounce back from that. That's pretty tough. Let's try again with Mike in Queens on the Fanatic. What's going on, Mike?
Hi. You know, you look at the Eagles this past season.
Yes.
They were ranked the worst wide receiving crew in the entire NFL. I don't think they led their league in drops, but they were at the top as far as drop passes. And that's what we heard all year. You know, get Wentz weapons, and they needed to overhaul the entire receiving corps. Literally, every top wide receiver has gone off the board, has gone to other teams. The Saints went 13-3 last year and have significantly upgraded their team. The middle tier guys, receiver-wise, now are gone. Guys like Robbie Anderson and now Perlman. And the Eagles have not signed a single wide receiver. And you look at DeSean Jackson, 34 years old. When he gets hurt again, the inevitable injury this year, whether it's for a few weeks, they have nobody from Root that you can count on. And we know Howie is not good at drafting. You can be the best drafter in the world, and there's no guarantee a draft guy is going to work out. So they have completely failed this offseason. I looked at this past year. They needed the horrible Giants and Redskins to fire their coaches to barely get into the playoffs, and they had overtime just to beat Giants. And better coached teams, you're not winning those games. And they're not playing the Giants and the Redskins in the season next year. They have a much tougher schedule. They're playing the 49ers. They're playing the Saints, all teams that are really good. So what's the excuse for not? Their biggest need going into the year was receivers. Yes. Everyone was talking about they needed at minimum two or three receivers. They haven't added one. So this offseason has been a mass failure.
Do you dislike what they've done on defense, Mike?
I agree what they did on defense, but they also lost Jenkins. They also lost Vitae. So I don't look at it like they've upgraded their team that much because they did lose a few guys on the defensive side as well. You might like a couple of the moves they made defensively, but offensively, they were an average football team, below average, actually. They averaged 22 points per game last year, and that was with an easier schedule than what they're going to have this year. So, what are they going to do going forward?
Well, I mean, it's a fair question to ask, absolutely. Mike, thanks for the phone call. I don't like playing the schedule game because you never know who's going to stink or who's going to be good. I think that the 49ers are going to be good. I think that the Saints are going to be good, but you know, quarterback injuries happen. You never know, right? So it's tough for me to play the schedule game. You just never know year in, year out, which teams are good and which teams are bad. So I'm not going to play that game, but I will engage with the fact that like this for me, Howie Roseman's offseason gets no better than a C+ at this point. No better. Because there are like the DeAndre Hopkins trade. Lance is saying that, you know, I don't want to misrepresent, but Lance sounded as though he was going head-to-head with Devon and me on DeAndre Hopkins. I don't think he was. I mean, I think that both of us were, Devon and I were all in on a DeAndre Hopkins trade, even up to and including a first-round pick for DeAndre Hopkins. So the fact that he went for a second is kind of silly, to be completely honest. So now, yes, offensively, there's a lot of work to do. I don't think that I would have brought back Malcolm Jenkins on a multi-year deal. I don't think that the Javon Hargrave signing is as celebrated as it should be. I think that that is a really, really good signing. Darius Slay is going to help out a lot at corner. I think that they did get better. It's just not in the areas that we anticipated they would get better in a hurry, which we were talking about, right? Like little changes to your life. Just little changes at wide receiver so that you're not playing guys that you don't want to play at all, I thought would have made a big difference. And then you turn it into, in an ideal world, think about this. In an ideal world, your team is so good that every move that you make is a luxury move. Now, that's likely impossible, but that's the standard that you should be working your way up toward. So, drafting a wide receiver or two wide receivers should be a luxury, or an extra pass rusher, or an extra offensive lineman, or whatever it is. Instead, the Eagles find themselves in a position where, out of necessity, they're going to have to put a lot on the shoulders of a rookie who's not going to get extended minicamp, who's not going to get a lot of training camp time, considering the fact that the vid is still a thing at this point. And as far as we know, it's going to be a thing heading into the fall and heading into football season. It's another, you know, kind of check mark in the column of, should really look at adding a veteran receiver. See who the best remaining free agent wide receivers are. Because I would assume this list is dwindling considerably. All right. Randall Cobb already went, blah, 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 blah. All right, people who are available. Paul Richardson, Taylor Gabriel, Chester Rogers, Demaryius Thomas, Jarius Wright, Josh Gordon. Hey, can revisit that one again. Actually, it's a good time to, as long as the league is dropping marijuana suspensions.
So. I would take the shot on Paul Richardson, too.
I like Richardson a little bit.
I think he's got something left. If the speed is there, I would take the shot.
How about Jordan Matthews?
No.
Oh, okay. Just checking. Apparently still available. Somehow. 610-632-0975. Adam, you're going to lead us off. Got a trade proposition. I'm always down for the trade propositions. I want to know what Howie Roseman should be doing next. It is the Joe Torti Show. 9 o'clock hour is coming your way straight ahead. Your phone number, 610-632-0975. You can also reach out on Twitter. Twitter interaction has been strong, in particular on the movies. We've been asking what is the best, like, film or cinema, which I guess is the way of saying what's the best made sports movie. It's not necessarily just your favorite or not one that's rewatchable or quotable or whatever, even though we have gotten some really good quotes as well. So keep those coming. No. We mean the best movie in terms of a filmmaking standpoint. Because I think Warrior's it. Really like Warrior. And it finally got its first vote, I saw, from Dave White at DocWhite11 on Twitter. So we're going to keep that rolling as well. It is the Joe Torti Show. Tyler Zulli's producing. Coming up, Sal Palantonio actually did shed some light on what kind of issues the Eagles created by not going after DeAndre Hopkins. I thought that was interesting as well, and if you missed it, we'll play that for you in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.